It's a sad state of affairs when you like Fort Max more than me.
I think I like Hitler more than you right now. Hitler never made me watch Turbo.
That's going to be a fun conversation in a little while, isn't it?
Yeah, and get your swear filter handy.
Well, thanks for reminding me. I'll open the text file. Yeah, maybe we should have sound bites of each other using the AllSpark swear filter words. I can just insert those in places of swearing. Because I think our show needs more hugs.
No hug you.
Hugging hug.
Little hugs. Although I'm particularly fond of the Jive Bar.
Yeah. Which... I like that toy that they had, the Jive Box.
You know, those Jive Bars are actually surprisingly tasty.
Yeah, this show is a real Jive Fest.
And with that...
Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
Dick is as Dick does, after all.
Hey, Mickey.
I'm bored. Let's talk about Ghost Sager.
Paladin.
Fuzzy Marshmallow. Wasn't that your mom's nickname?
And Fort Max.
Forces of darkness empower me. Take me back to my virtual reality.
Showtime!
You're listening to Superhero Time. I'm XV. And this
you
is
are.
Where Mickey... Shut up! You just gotta ruin it every damn week, don't you?
It's what I do.
Well, that's been Hey Mickey.
Like MSG.
Shut the f*** up! We also have Paladin.
Hello.
And Fort Max, who knows when to keep quiet most of the time. Maybe. Stuff is going on. But not really.
Lots of stuff.
There's toys.
What toys do we got?
Japanese
some
toys.
New Candroids and some other new O's crap.
It's not crap. It's quality Japanese product from... Why is Power Rangers on my TV? I should qualify that question by saying that it's Investigation Discovery, where I should not be hearing Go-Go Power Rangers. Maybe this is about that Power Ranger extra who killed the people on the yacht.
Probably.
Okay, well, that mystery solved.
Damn putties.
What?
Hmm?
Damn putties.
Yeah. If only those people would have known to punch him in the Z in the middle of his chest.
Well, this guy was from a season one episode.
Crap. Okay, so O's toys.
There's some new Candroid pictures.
And this past weekend, I believe, the Eel Candroid and the Ridevenger toy came out.
Hooray. Does the Eel spark like we thought?
Yes, it does. The sparking chamber is enclosed.
Aw.
Well, good enough.
Yes, you won't be able to use bunches of hairspray to set things on fire with your little Candroid, Fort Max. I know it's a really heartbreaking letdown, but still. Sparks are good, though. I wish we could get Transformers with sparks.
Are sparks technically fire, or are they electricity?
Sparks are like superheated little shards of stuff.
Okay, so really it's an electric eel that has like a fiery thing going on it.
I suppose.
I'm pretty sure sparks an electric type attack.
No, we're not talking about Ghost Sager right now.
No, but I'll make another Pokemon reference when we talk about this past weekend's episode of O's. If I remember to, which I probably won't, so never mind. But yeah, it's nice that in the show, the ride vendor vending machine prop and the motorcycles are two separate things. Because the ride vendor toy looks pretty crappy in vending machine mode.
Yeah.
Being that it's basically just this flat panel with a motorcycle behind it.
And suddenly I'm thankful I'm too cheap to pick it up.
But you're going to regret that if you ever get an O's toy and he'll have nothing to ride.
He can ride your mom.
He's got plenty of...
His legs don't splay wide enough for that.
He'll ride her side saddle.
He can sit on a box and pretend it transforms.
Yes. That is the correct answer. See, now I want that for a toy.
Can't the ride vendor toy do that? I thought I saw that picture.
The ride vendor's not a box enough to do it. You know, in the show, the vending machine ride vendor is basically a proper box with maybe a few machine elements glued on the back of it to make it look like it transforms into a motorcycle. So if you tip it on its side, it still looks like a box. If you tip the toy on its side, it doesn't look like a box anymore because you're seeing it from more than the front.
Okay, then.
Yeah. So really, you just need a box.
Like your mom?
Yes. No, your mom is more of a sphere. Or
but
perhaps
she has a box.
Or like an amorphous blob, you know. Just depending on, you know. I guess if she was up in space in zero gravity, you know, she would naturally be a sphere. Right, she would naturally form a sphere because there'd be no gravity pulling down on her edges, making her sag.
Yeah.
You know. So what about that new stuff?
The three new Candroids are kind of weird looking.
There's a gorilla, isn't there?
Yes.
Which looks to transform basically the same way as the Tiger Candroid does.
So it'll probably modify the ride vendor too?
Could be. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Yeah. See, what are the other Candroids?
A Pteranodon and a Peacock.
A what?
Peacock.
One more time.
No.
Well, the Pteranodon Candroid looks basically normal. Whereas the other Candroid looks like a great way to cut your hand off. What with that spinning buzzsaw tail deal?
See, they should have put the peacock change into a mushroom that squirts water.
Or couldn't the can mode just squirt water? I mean, that'd be close, right?
Eh, close enough.
Yeah. Actually, the Pteranodon looks a little bit boring. What does it do? Just shoot a missile?
Would a Kenner make it?
What is that thing on it, anyway?
I'm guessing kind of missile.
Or some kind of ripcord thing, maybe. That's kind of strange.
Yes.
And then you can also buy the metal case.
Yes, for metal storage.
Yeah, to store up to 24 metals.
That's optimistic of them.
And let's see, how much is that going to cost?
To what, 24 metals or just the case?
Just the case.
Well, add up the cost of the case and the 24 metals.
Looks like it's going to cost about 2,500 yen. Just for the case and the special condor metal it comes with.
That's what, 30 bucks, more or less?
Yeah, depending how weak our economy is that day. Otherwise, it could be more. Let's see. Well, there's Berth's equipment. I can't really tell what's supposed to be going on with the driver.
It looks like it splits open.
And you put metals into it.
And then what?
And then shit happens, I guess.
Well, that is our motto.
Mm-hmm.
What really concerns me here is the Tajadoru spinner. Because I can't figure out what the hell it's supposed to be doing.
It hypnotizes you. Or you put a bunch of little trays of cake on it and becomes a Lazy Susan.
Cake. We've also got a pretty decent picture of Oz's all red form.
Right.
Which apparently doesn't use the standard Hawk helmet.
Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very.
I wonder what the story reason for that will be. Maybe the wings just grow more prominent when he uses all the red metals.
So it's a shame that Berth wasn't red instead of this teal color, because then he'd be covered in Pokeballs.
We're not talking about Ghostager.
Oh, right.
Besides, isn't there a kind of Pokeball that's teal on the bottom and silver on the top?
Oh, probably.
Isn't that a Safari Ball?
I don't know.
We saw this other form for Oz.
The aquatic form.
Yeah, the Shamu form, or whatever the hell they're calling it.
Works for me.
I like it, except for it appears the octopus or squid legs, whatever it is, It's a much lighter blue than the rest of it, which is kind of disappointing.
Okay, so I just looked it up, and apparently there is not actually a kind of Pokeball that has those colors in that layout.
Ah.
Without any other colors on it. So, crap.
So, looking at the ad here for the metal spinner.
Yes.
If you look in the corner, it shows you that you should insert metals into the O's driver. Is that really something they need to keep stressing to us? I mean, we've kind of got it by now.
Well, you know, kids are stupid.
Well, but these are Japanese kids. They're a lot smarter than American kids.
No, kids are stupid.
No, they're stupid. They just happen to have level 5 security clearance.
Oh, okay.
Japanese kids are stupid. They're just good at math. Or is that the Korean kids? I always get that confused.
Oh, which are the ones that are good at piano and clarinet?
I don't know. No, really, I don't know.
Well, we still rule at tuba, so there.
So, how about Birth Gun?
It's a pretty decent-looking gun.
I don't understand it.
That's basically my thought on it, too. I have no idea what is going on.
It's like it's got four things that like plug into it in different places that you just fill full of cell metals, and then does it shoot them or just spin them? Or I don't know. It's maddening.
Okay, from what I can gather from this, there is actually just one piece which can go from a top-loading hopper thing to a thing on the bottom to a barrel extension to make it a Gatling gun.
And Gatling guns are usually pretty awesome.
Yes, but how do the metals work into it is my question. Because, you know, obviously it's displaying that you insert three metals into the magazine. But then it does not say in any way I can understand that you should clarify that it doesn't really indicate what happens with the metals then. What do you get by putting them in there?
It's attacks.
Now this thing's over 5,000 yen, so I would assume there is a scanner in it.
It's over 5,000?
Yes, over 5,000. Shut up. Wasn't funny the first time. Yep, basically what we need is, like, bigger scans of these.
Or video.
I think we need more English.
Yeah. Well, if they were bigger scans, maybe somebody who can read Japanese could tell us what it says. Just a thought. But yeah, a video would be good, too. When do these come out?
When does the movie come out?
A long time from now. So I guess
the movie's coming out in December.
That's still kind of long.
Not that long.
It's like 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something like that.
Well, it depends what time in December it comes out.
And then wait for this DVD to come out so there are subs.
And there goes another 6 months. See, I told you it was a long time.
Yeah.
We still haven't got the last double movie yet.
No. That probably won't be on DVD until January or February. Yeah.
Damn it.
I don't know why there is such a lag time between the movie being in a theater and then being on home video.
Seriously, it took Scott Pilgrim like 2 months to go from theater to DVD.
Well, I thought it was on DVD like 2 weeks afterward, but it seemed like. And you know, really, these days with all the digital stuff, it shouldn't take any time at all to transfer a movie from theater to DVD or Blu-ray.
I think the reason for the wait on it is to maximize theater potential.
Yeah, but the theaters don't keep it for anywhere near the length of time between the movies coming out on DVD and the theater.
Well, it's not just one region either, because sometimes they'll stagger releases in different countries.
I don't think that really would be an issue with, you know, double.
Well, with piracy, it would, wouldn't it?
If they released in more than just Japan, you might have be onto something, but.
Yeah, that doesn't really explain the whole them. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe Japan's just lazy.
Probably so.
Maybe they're too busy making O's to be worrying about DVDs right now.
Yeah, I guess we can't fault them for that.
The DVD division's probably a whole separate entity.
It's one guy in a basement with candles strapped to his head.
Why did he have candles strapped to his head?
because they won't pay for headlights.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because he can't afford a turbo helmet.
Not now. Okay, so is there anything else to mention?
Well, on the subject of all this movie discussion, we got the first trailer for Movie Core this week.
And yes, it is awesome.
Well, it's a movie that has double in it. Of course it's going to be awesome.
Double and O's.
But mostly double. Actually, mostly Skull.
Well, yeah, Skull's definitely awesome in his own right.
Only when he's wearing the hat.
And it's got, what's her name? Mummy Carmen Sandiego, wearing a wig.
Shroud.
Shroud, yes.
Is it a wig jacket. Or is it really just her hair?
I don't know.
Didn't she have hair during the series?
Yeah, but it was different.
Longer.
Curlier and browner.
Well, you know, things happen. You go through phases, you dye your hair.
Then you just die.
Yeah. For no apparent reason.
For plot convenience.
And your flowers and you pass away.
Once your forest stops being eerie blue. You know, come to think of it, that was kind of weird. We never did figure out why the forest was blue. And why nobody else seemed to notice it being blue.
Massive LSD?
I mean, is this just some area, like a park, where people can walk by and it's glowing blue at them?
Maybe it's a side effect from all that radiation.
Is that how the fires spontaneously start everywhere?
Yes. But also it's Godzilla.
It's a natural phenomenon in Japan, like the Northern Lights. Some parks just glow blue.
Oh, okay. But yeah, as usual, the movie Wars looks good this year.
It has double-looking confused metals, just like A.G. Wood.
Yes. Because, really, what the heck is it?
Now we gotta wait, like, 5 months to see the f***ing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's...
I want to see Shotaro use the O's driver.
I don't really think that would work.
Why not? It's just a piece of machinery, isn't it?
But what about Philip?
I don't know.
I don't think AG and Philip would work well on the double driver together.
What about Philip actually wouldn't.
You put Philip and Ankh on the double driver. You know, you strap one double driver around Ankh's wrist.
Well, how does he put the memory in if it's just on his wrist?
Well, Philip can slide his Joker memory in.
He'll flip it up in the air and he'll land in the slot.
Problem solved.
Yep.
But in that
onslaught.
But in that case, then wouldn't? I mean, this. See, I've kind of confused myself with the logistics of this. If Ankh was wearing Shotaro's double driver, and used the Joker memory, then would Ankh just be Joker's forearm, or would he be split down the middle, a Cyclone Joker forearm?
It depends on who put the memory in first.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is would it be like the entire double suit condensed down into a glove?
I'm saying it doesn't depend on who's wearing which driver. It depends on who puts the memory in first.
Right, but my example was with Ankh using Joker memory. But the question I'm trying to put out here is, would it just be the forearm of the side Ankh is using, or would it be the whole suit theme condensed into a glove?
I'm thinking...
You're buzzing.
But he's also thinking, so let him finish.
It would just be Ankh's hand that would be green and purple split.
Well, that's kind of boring. It'd be a lot more entertaining with a flying double arm.
But think about when he does the Joker Extreme, and his hand split into different halves.
Yes, that would be even better. Mostly, I just want to see somebody wear the double driver on their wrist. For no good reason.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's superhero time. No good reason at all.
No raisins either, because they're not good.
No.
No.
So, yeah, those movie wars.
We get to see Skull's old partner.
Yeah, what's your deal with Skull's old partner?
I don't know, but I'm fine with him showing up.
Okay. That says absolutely nothing. Which
I don't
is also
have much
an integral part of superhero time. Saying nothing.
Yep.
Yeah, we pretty much covered all this. Let's move on.
Okay. What's next?
The O's soundtrack and single came out.
Yep. It sure is the music from O's.
The right. O's theme does not extend well at all.
Sadly.
No, but sometimes themes do that.
Yes, but it's sad when a great song gets worse by becoming longer.
On the other hand, you can listen to the good part even faster.
Well, that's true. And if nothing else, I've got a higher quality copy of it now, so...
Without AG yelling Henshin in the middle of it.
Yeah, that too.
That's one of the good parts.
And the coin flip noise at the beginning.
Another good part.
And the part where they yell, come on.
Isn't that still in there?
Yeah, yeah. No, that part is good, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that what your mom said the other night?
It is. It's followed by me, so it's not quite the same thing.
Right. Well, then there's the alternate version of the opening on the CD.
Which is surprisingly good. They took a ska kind of song and made it even ska-ier.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yes.
And of course, the song is completely unintelligible at that point, but, you know.
Sometimes that's a benefit.
Yeah,
thanks to the bullfrog they have singing it.
No, I'm telling you, it's Bill Cosby.
I didn't hear anything about Pudding Pops, though.
Like I said, the song is unintelligible.
Pudding Pops is implied given Onk, so...
That's true.
You're right.
Got a point.
Now, we just have to work the sweaters in there somehow.
Maybe there's a Picture Pages app for the iPad. Time to get your crayons and your pencils and your multi-touch.
Nice.
Thank you.
And the soundtrack is the soundtrack of O's.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Nothing surprising, but glad it's out.
I wish it had the form name chants.
And the form theme music as well.
Well, those will be released in separate singles later on.
Did we ever figure out what the Yellow Form song was?
Fort Max?
It sounds like Ratta, 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 Ratta. I am completely off key and off tempo, but it's Ratta, 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 Ratta.
I know. It's not like we're really expecting you to be on pitch, you know.
But that's worse than normal. Yeah, I know.
Well, you're just not trying at all. If you tried harder.
I was trying before.
Could have fooled us.
Yeah. Okay, then. So, do we continue on O's or go to the other thing?
Let's get the other thing out of the way.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
All right. Epic Fail 38. Which I watched because TV Nihon, the lazy f***ers, still haven't put up Epic Fail 37.
Well, would you want to have to translate that thing?
No, but I want the rest of you to suffer with me.
That's a very valid point.
All right.
It's okay, we all had some mutual suffering this week anyway, which we'll come to in a little while.
Now this is worse.
I don't know. Anyway, on with you.
Epic Fail 38 is the story of Nozomu's mother.
Okay, that's worse.
Yes.
So
does everyone bang her?
Yet again, I have to remind you, nothing that interesting happens in Gosager.
Okay, so I guess we can assume then that she also did not run screaming away from Professor...
Yes.
Whatever his name is.
Actually, Nozomu's mother is technically the smartest character in the entire series. She never appeared on camera.
Oh.
Nice.
I figured she, like, committed suicide or something to get out of it.
She's not that smart. She's still in Gosager.
And plus, I mean, being the smartest character in Gosager really doesn't take much.
Kind of like being the winner at the Special Olympics.
Or the smartest of the Three Stooges.
Or the best one on this podcast.
Burn.
Snap.
Okay, so what happens?
Well, Metal Alice hijacks a train that's heading towards town that knows his mother is...
Is it full of nuns and orphans?
Didn't see any nuns, but there could have been some orphans in there.
Did they jump it over the city?
What's
the rule about interesting in Ghostager?
Oh, yeah.
Was there at least a bridge that moved over for it to travel on?
No. I don't think so, anyway.
What a letdown.
Yes. So Nozomu begs Gosei Knight to help save his mother.
Oh, so his mother is still alive?
Yes.
She's just a deadbeat mom.
Yeah, kind of.
Huh.
But she's supposed to come into town again on this train. So Gosei Knight agrees to help Nozomu, damn it. And fights Metal Alice.
Wait, wasn't this a plot from Die Ranger? Where Kiba Rangers, they told the Kiba Ranger that his mom was coming into town on the train, but they lied to him.
Well, yeah, that happened in that one episode you watched.
And it was and Die Ranger was less deadbeat mom and more
the Die Ranger
captured by, and more tied up in a house by
No, that's,
the
that's
brother.
A, that's a later episode, Fort Mac. Yeah. That's not what he's talking about. No, that was less deadbeat mom, more Die Rangers or dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so if what's his name's mom is still alive, why isn't she ever around? Do they establish that in this episode?
Would you want to hang around Nozomu?
That's not really a valid reason for abandoning your child.
The excuse that she actually gives is that she's away because of work, but I'd be more inclined to believe that she's just getting away from her husband and son.
Yeah, I mean, the impression I've gotten through the series so far is that she was, like, dead.
Yeah.
I always assumed that he was just a test tube baby.
Because what woman would let that near her, besides your mom? But, you know, she'll do anything for a nickel.
Maybe when she was away on business, that's what she meant.
Getting her nickel
could
on.
Be.
She's a traveling hooker. Riding the rails, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what ends up happening?
Well, they beat Metal Alice by using Gosei Wonder, of all things.
Well, it had to show up again at some point.
You remember, Gosei Wonder's the movie exclusive, you know, the one Gosei machine that's so stupid even I don't want it.
I mean,
but you'll
movie...
buy it eventually, won't you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of doubting it.
You'll find it on clearance for like $15 or so, and you'll get it.
Most likely.
You bought Datus.
The movie Megazords always show up again in the series.
Yes.
In Shinkendra, it shows up again several times.
Speaking of Shinkendra, I watched the second episode today.
How was it?
It was a lot more interesting than the first one. The characters seemed a lot less irritating this time around, so I'm thinking I'll stick with it.
That's good. Did you watch any more Deno?
No, I have not. I want to. I just haven't.
Which Shinkendras were irritating?
All of them?
First episode, all of them. Except the green was okay in the first episode because he actually showed some element of having a personality. And then that was magnified tenfold in the second episode. So, yeah, I like green a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Blue is insane. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
I still hate red, though.
You'll like gold even more.
Anyway, back to the thrilling Ghostager discussion.
Yeah. The only other significant thing is they rip off the first Power Rangers movie in this.
They kick Metal Alice in the balls?
And throw her in front of a comet that's inexplicably on fire?
They use
poke fun at the Brady Bunch reunion?
They use the Ghostay Wonder in bird form to support the train as it goes over the tracks that are out.
Didn't they do something like that in the... Go on, Drew, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Held up a bridge with one of the Megazords?
Yeah, I believe it was G3 that held it up. And then
Holding up a bridge or being part of the bridge?
I don't remember.
I think it was being part of the bridge, I think. And then 4 and 5 attacked the monster or something.
Because they didn't have their Zords yet.
I'll say it was in the second or third episode or something. Because it was before they even combined with it.
Well, it was the individual Zords doing something, so it had to be early on.
Yeah. Because that can't happen in any episode past, well, with double digits, really.
Unless it's a new Zord.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Naturally. So, anything else?
Nozomu's mother was never on the train at all. Then Metal Alice dies and gets rebuilt immediately after that.
Into a new form, or the same?
Metal or Alice?
The same.
Heavy Metal Alice.
Speed Metal Alice.
Death Metal Hair. Alice.
That's the final form.
Yeah.
What about Hair Metal Alice?
Oh, hell yes.
Holger Fat Thou Alice?
No,
there's no metal in that.
Anyway, so it's the same form, but she now has a self-destruct bomb inside her in case she fails again.
But she already got destroyed by failing.
Yeah.
That seems kind of wasteful.
Yeah, I know.
Plus, if you fail, wouldn't you be blowing up and dying anyway?
That's kind of what I just said.
Yeah.
So was there a preview for next week?
Yes.
So what will our 40th epic fail entail for us?
Next week's only 39.
Shut up.
And it's appropriately titled Epic Zero.
Okay, that doesn't really follow, does it?
I think there's something about time travel in it.
Oh, God. The only thing that I can think of being worse than Ghostager is time travel Ghostager.
They're going to go back in time and be the cause of the Heaven Tower collapsing.
Probably.
Yeah, that sounds like them.
They're going to go back to 1955 and accidentally erase their own existence.
And make out with their mom.
Yeah.
Which I've already done.
Well, pay your nickel, you get your prize.
It's a prize?
For a nickel,
it is. A prize that keeps on giving.
It's as much of a prize as the little crap you get out of the capsule machine at Kmart.
Oh, that you get out of Barth's chest?
Right. That's going to be creepy if that's an actual gimmick. Turn a dial on his chest. And...
out of him.
You turn a dial on his chest and stuff shoots out of his body. Actually, that sounds like one of your mom's gimmicks, doesn't it?
It's put hidden discs type dials on her nipples.
Well, this is getting uncomfortable.
Definitely.
Just cut all this out.
No.
Cut out all the ghosty crap.
I'll just fast forward through it.
Just play us like 1.5 times speed, so we'll be going through real fast.
Actually, I'd have to play it about 36-40 times speed. Otherwise, you can still make out what's being said.
Oh, okay.
Not that I've tried that or anything.
Sure.
O's?
I guess so.
O's? O's. Yeah.
Come on. Anything goes, comes up.
Creepy doll, well, shoulder doll Dr. professor Maki. Guy seems to be the anti-Kogami.
Dr. Maki.
Yes.
Nega-Kogami.
Yes.
Nogami.
Psycho-Kogami.
Psycho-Gami?
Yeah, Psycho-Gami. Yeah, he becomes even more terrifyingly up.
Yes, he focuses on the end of things. He has a creepingly awesome painting in his office.
Creepingly?
It's creeping and awesome. It has dinosaurs in it.
It gives the impression that it's moving, even though it's not. Sometimes when I'm in his room alone, I can feel it looking at me, staring at me.
Also, his desk has a tiny little office chair on top of it.
On his desk, yes.
For the doll.
No, too small for the doll. And plus, he goes crazy if the doll isn't on his shoulder.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Maybe he just goes crazy when somebody smashes a plate of sheet metal in front of his face.
No, he didn't go crazy until the doll fell off.
Well, I think he was crazy long before any of that happened.
Well, crazier.
I was going to say, you can't really walk around with a doll perched on your forearm and not be a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I've tried.
Okay, so Isaka or Maki, who's creepier right now?
Well, Isaka didn't walk around with a doll on his arm that he talked at.
Well, so far Maki hasn't tried to sex up any monster costumes, though.
He hasn't had a good chance to, either. Just wait until he gets a hold of Mezel.
Ugh. Stop that.
That's okay.
That
sure
guy who does
like
the fan
anyway.
Art is already thinking about it.
No, it's already happened, probably.
Yeah, Fort Max inspired me. I want to find fan art by the person who does all those rider girls. Like the ride vendor girl I showed you a few weeks ago.
I don't remember that at all.
But a rider girl of Kogami.
I imagine there'd be frosting involved.
I'd be satisfied if there was the textured red suit involved.
With frosting all over it?
And probably a wet spot somewhere, too.
I don't think that's frosting.
I love this show.
So, episodes 9 and 10, I thought were a big improvement over what we've had recently, and that we seem to be...
And, of course, there was the army of Mr. Flippers.
The shark people?
Just call them land sharks.
No, nope. They're street sharks because they're jawsome, damn it.
And they look like Mr. Flipper from Dynamite.
They bite. They fight. They don't stand for everything right, but, you know, you can't really have everything. They're street sharks.
But what about the extreme dinosaurs?
Well, you know, there's a dinosaur-themed breed coming later, I think, so.
What about Cadillacs and dinosaurs?
We need a car breed.
Someone whose desire is speed.
Need for speed?
Just, you know, one with a car theme.
Like the virus DuPont?
Well, that was more of a coincidence, though.
But still, it had double fighting out an SUV.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I noticed that episode 10 broke a couple of the O's patterns.
Like?
Well, for starters, isn't this the first time that he's gone straight to a different form instead of his trademark Tatoba?
I think so.
Could be.
Which is an important thing. He doesn't need to start with the default part. Like Decade.
Well, that's a little bit different.
And also, this was the first time he didn't use any of the new medals he got last time.
Yeah. That's true. He didn't use any of the blue ones.
Yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't want to like smell like fish like Mezel does.
Well, he probably doesn't want to use them before the toys come out.
Yeah, there you go.
And plus, Gomel's probably going to trade them at some point or something.
That's the idea.
Well, he's already tried to give Mezel his core medals, mm-hmm. and that doesn't work.
I'm sure that would result in something gross if it did.
So,
when Kazali had one of Uva's medals on, it didn't do anything.
He probably didn't install it, though. He was just holding on to it.
Well, and none of the core medals that Ankh has are doing anything for him, either.
There seems to be a difference between possessing a medal and, you know, using
equipping
a medal.
Equipping it, yeah.
Well, I don't think any of the greed can equip anyone else's cores.
No, but they can hold on to them in their subspace pockets.
Yeah.
In their tummies,
yes.
Where their yummies come from.
That's right.
Speaking of yummies, why doesn't Ankh just make some yummies?
He probably doesn't have enough, you know.
Not enough soul metals.
Probably not enough him in the first place.
Well, I mean, if he could just, like, make his own yummies, then, like, they could make all the soul metals they wanted.
You know, I think the deal is he's using AG in the place of a yummy. Maybe that is how Ankh makes yummies, with the O's driver.
Get some schmuck to do it.
It does seem kind of like his style.
That way he doesn't have to waste his cell metals in the process. Or he didn't until Kogami made him agree to a 60% split.
Yeah.
Then give him a cake.
Yes. There was lots of cakes in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently for Kogami's 10th anniversary of a company, he made a cake for every employee.
Or at least every department. That must have been what he was working on all these episodes up till now.
That's a lot of cake making.
Yes, especially when you're doing them yourself one at a time.
You can't mass produce a cake like you can a ride vendor.
Or an octopus candroid.
I wonder how much of it his secretary had to sample.
So, when they show the shot of all the octopus candroids being made, did you want to get like a hear the Laverne and Shirley theme playing in their head? Or was that just me?
I think it was you, because
you're the only one old enough to remember that damn theme.
I was going to point out that I don't remember the Laverne and Shirley theme. Although I have seen it before. It's just, you know.
I've seen the tail end of it before Batman.
It's been probably 15 or more years since I've seen Laverne and Shirley.
It's on the hub.
Yeah, I know. I just have no interest in watching it.
If you watch the episodes, that's not the theme song. So
I've only watched a couple episodes of Happy Days, even, and I actually like that.
Ugh, I hate Happy Days. It's awful.
I wonder how they got all those octopus candroids back under control after they started flying around.
They threw a bunch of sperm whales at them. that's squids.
Kogami probably has a master control switch somewhere.
He willed them to stop.
Of course, if that was the case, you would think they wouldn't have them active on the assembly line where they could start up and go flying away.
Well, he willed it to happen.
No, there was no willing going on. It was all remote control. Kogami was just trying to look badass for Ankh.
That was a very clean factory they were in.
Well, if you're going to have cakes in there, it's going to have to be kind of tidy.
Yeah, I suppose there's a health inspector thing going on.
Yeah. At the same time the cakes were arriving.
Oh, speaking of health inspectors, we ate at Ryan's today, the buffet. No, we just happened to look over behind the napkins and noticed the wallpaper was peeling down. So we peeked behind it, and nothing but black mold as far as the eye can see.
Eh.
Yeah, so we reported them to the health inspector.
And I assume you're never going to go there again.
No.
No, thanks for that. I don't want cake anymore.
It was like looking inside your mom.
Speaking of cake, I got this lovely cheerwine cake that Kilby sent me.
Wait, what?
Cheerwine cake.
How does that work?
Well, it's a piece of cake, which appears to be flavored with cheerwine.
So I don't know if like it was like a cake with like a cheerwine label on it, or...
Well, it has a cheerwine label on it.
Oh. How is it?
I don't know, I haven't eaten it yet.
Oh.
Stingy bastard only sent me one piece.
He just crammed it into an envelope and put a stamp on it.
That would be great. Actually, it'd be horrible, but it'd be funny.
Maybe he can mail you some chili next.
Cheerwine chili. Man, I miss Cheerwine.
But you got ready access to Sundrop, though, so...
You don't have Sundrop there?
It's kind of tricky to find. Only about half the places carry it.
Weird.
Which is usually the half you're not in.
Oh, have you tried the Sunkiss Cherry Limeade flavor?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's a little overly sweet, but it's not bad.
I'll tell you what I like, though, is the Sunkiss Solar Fusion they've got out now.
Oh, I can't stand that.
Oh, I love that. It's got caffeine in it. Finally, an orange drink with caffeine.
What about Mountain Dew Livewire? That has caffeine.
Yeah, Livewire is freaking awesome.
Yeah,
I completely forgotten about that. I haven't seen it in so long.
I basically lived on Livewire for about 2 years.
Want some? We get it here all the time.
Yeah, you can still find 12 packs of cans around here.
I haven't seen cans of that in forever. You can see them at the gas stations, but I was never thinking about buying the 20-ounce bottles or whatever they are.
Yeah. I miss Livewire. I should get some again.
Do you know what I miss? Pepsi Blue.
You know what I miss? Mountain Dew Distortion.
You know what I miss?
I saw that last week.
Surge.
Too.
Surge! That was my Fort Max impression.
It was pretty good, but you didn't sound Australian enough.
Sergey.
That sounded that was Canadian.
I know, but when you said that, that was the first thing that came to mind, and it was too funny not to do.
I think you meant like Serge G'day.
Serge Dingo.
We just lost all of our Australian viewers again.
We had any?
I think we just lost all of our American listeners, too.
We had any?
Bye, Malunas. So we were talking about O's, weren't we?
At some point, yes.
Yeah.
We need to talk about the new merchandising from this episode. AG yes. got his Beast Rider.
The Tried Vendor.
Yeah, so he changes his bicycle into an ATV.
And then into a Zoid.
A kitty ATV.
I think they had those during Jungle Fury.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, they had kitty everything then, didn't they? Didn't they?
Yes.
I try not to watch very much Jungle Fury.
No, I'm talking about the toy line.
Oh, yes.
I don't think they used an ATV in the show. They just had the funky motorcycle with the motorcycle armor thing.
The Strike Rider, or whatever the f*** was called.
That's right.
So, I thought I wasn't going to like the upgrade to the Ride Vendor because it was making it all animalistic and bouncy, but
actually ended up being a lot of fun. But it was funny when it ran away from him.
Yeah, when AJ just like, oh, I should have been on that.
Which he also said about your mom.
Yeah. You know what I noticed in this episode? Ankh was off of Officer Casualty's body for quite a while.
Yeah, I think they kind of forgot about that plot point some.
Maybe he's getting better and Ankh can be off of him for longer.
Yeah. Yeah, Strong Girl is making him eat to heal Casualty.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that as time goes on, he'd be able to take a little break from him for longer and longer periods. Of course, we'll have to watch out. At some point, he might be well enough to actually wake up when Ankh gets off of him. And then it's going to be kind of awkward.
Good.
I was just going to say it's going to be kind of awkward then when Ankh tries to go back on.
Yeah.
So what?
The one thing I noticed about this episode is that a whole shitload of scientists get eaten by sharks.
Yeah, that seemed to be the case, didn't it?
And like one dude got his bowels eaten out and he was screaming and that was pretty bitchin'.
Yeah, ick.
And then after that they cut to the hilarious scene of that kid standing in the sink with the water flowing everywhere just looking at AG on the floor in the bathroom.
Yeah, that kid must have been in there playing in the sink and plugged up the drain, because otherwise I can't think of why the water would be running over like that.
I guess they don't have those emergency sink drains in Japan.
I guess.
Yeah.
And AG sure got around pretty quick to disarm 6 bombs in 3 minutes.
Well, less disarming and more disconnecting the timer from the bomb.
Did it explode?
No.
Then it was disarmed.
You know, props to the riders for making the bombs simple to disarm. You just unplug the wires and that's it. There's no
confusing. On reflection,
it's
very poor bomb design, but, you know, from a story standpoint,
yeah,
it worked. But yeah, the Ride Vendor running away from AG is still hilarious. And, of course, I'm sure Fort Max was really disappointed when AG used the all-cat form again and still half of it's covered up in the roar.
I wasn't really paying attention to the...
I figured you would have been paying real close attention so you could try to catch the rest of the song.
All right, so the new Candroid is some form of cat. Have they said specifically what kind it is? Is it a lion?
That's the tiger Candroid.
So it is a tiger, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to something weird like Puma or something.
Now, the Candroids are all based on core metals.
Oh, they are, aren't they? Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, anyway, I said earlier I was going to make another Pokemon reference at some point during the show.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred to me why AG was so easily able to defeat all of those Street Shark yummies. Because, you know, they're fish, and obviously they are weak against cat.
There is no cat type.
Yeah.
No, they'd be weak against lightning and grass.
It's a very Pokemon sort of type alignment deal. You know, it's a whole elemental thing.
No.
Fish are weak against cat. Cat is weak against, like, you know, aardvark.
Dog.
Aardvark.
First thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
What is an aardvark?
It's a thing like an anteater.
No, I mean, like, is it a rodent, or?
It's an aardvark.
It doesn't have a subcategory attached to it?
It's a malnourished armadillo.
It is... What the hell is that? Aardvark seem to be in an order by themselves.
Oh, okay. So they're just aardvarks.
I mean, they're not like, you know, rodent or anything like that. They're in some other kind of family.
Yeah.
There should be an aardvark core metal.
Well, there could be.
Aardvark, armadillo, and platypus.
Now, what kind platypus. Of song would you get from that?
I don't know the Japanese for those animals, so I can't tell you.
Well,
but
half,
the colors
of,
be
half
brown
of the metal names
tan.
Are being done in English now anyway. Well, roughly half, I guess. Maybe just the two. I don't know.
RR Ply.
Let's see, what three did you pick out again?
Aardvark, armadillo, and platypus. R-Pla-R. Pla-R-R.
I was trying to think of some way to work that into a your mom joke, but it just won't go.
Just like your mom.
I ran out of nickels.
Now just be sure to beat up the next yummy.
Okay, so I've got a question on this episode. I didn't really understand. Maybe I just forgotten something, but at the end, when they're all back at Couscousie, eating their
whatever
the hell it is they're eating, looks like watery jello. But
that's what your mom said.
What is this whole tutor business that shows up to teach Ankh manners? Where did that come from? Was that in the last episode, or did I?
Well, the last one was Halloween, and she did seem fairly interested in Ankh.
Well, you know, AG explained to her that Ankh was from another country and had no manners.
Okay, so there's something of a precedent to set this up then.
You know, the typical M
plus
Japanese
gives
point of
her the opportunity to cosplay
and speak in fluent English.
Yeah, Ankh's just going to murder the shit out of everybody next episode. From AG beating him up and like wringing core metals out of him like he was a towel.
Yes, that was great.
I forgot about that part.
Well, you know, it's easy when he's only an arm. You don't have to worry about hurting Officer Casualty's body in the process.
Ankh's not going to put up with that.
AG just needs to start carrying around a stick with him. Maybe a ruler or something, a yardstick. Just something where you can grab Ankh's arm and beat stuff out of him. Besides, it's Ankh's fault for taking the core metals back.
And also, you can tell, you can tell that AG really liked that kid that was in the bathroom. He gave him tomorrow's underwear.
That was actually a little creepy.
Yeah.
More than a little.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you get arrested for that in real life.
Even in Japan?
No, in Japan you can only sell your underwear in a vending machine.
Not in any of Kogami's so far, thankfully.
Panty Candroid.
Yeah, what animal Candroid would just dispense underpants?
A type of cat?
Which one?
Do I have to actually say it, or can we all just already know what I'm referencing?
What?
The lynx, duh.
Guess it wasn't really as satisfying when you actually say it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Or you could have a variation, and for men's underpants, it could be a dachshund.
Nice.
Or oysters.
Actually, a dachshund Candroid would work pretty good.
But what the hell would it do?
Extend.
It would be a slinky. You know, you flip out the head.
I kind of want to see one of those now.
Yeah, you flip out the head and the feet, and then you can unlock the middle, and it's got a slinky in it.
Well, people might get confused with the corgi.
Well, conveniently, dachshunds don't come in the typical corgi colors.
Of blue?
Yeah. Actually, you probably can get a blue dachshund. It's just really rare.
No, it's not. All you need is spray paint.
Or that. Okay, so, is that all of O's?
Yes, sadly.
Until next week. We'll get more O's.
Yeah. Well, also, the bad midnight bomber what bombs at midnight was hilarious, yelling about that AG stole his bombs.
Yeah, and for some reason the cops are more interested in, like, hey, this guy's saying this guy's got bombs. We better stop this guy that's saying stuff.
Well,
yes.
Well, the guy was saying that AG stole his bombs. So
The cops were just hearing my bombs rather than AG bombs.
Yeah.
Right.
That and Japanese police officers' uniforms don't look terribly threatening.
No. Can they even carry guns?
Officer Casualty did.
They don't have to carry guns because they have mecha.
No, that's the mobile police.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Officer Casualty and Fat Glasses Cop were both sporting pieces in the first episode.
Is it just me, or did Goto actually make some progress in shooting those shark yummies with his gun?
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, I'm starting to like Goto more and more.
I guess it's just greed that you can't take down with a shotgun.
No matter how much you try.
You can sure wipe out a ride under squadron trying.
Yeah. He's becoming quite hard-ass here in the last couple episodes.
He doesn't like AG.
No. That's kind of understandable, I guess. I mean, I like AG, but I can see how some wouldn't.
Right.
You can see how he comes off as an idiot to some people.
Some people?
Especially after the underpants thing.
Which underpants thing? The fact that there's more than one kind of says something.
Yeah, exactly.
So I always thought AG is kind of an idiot, but he's likable. Whereas the Ghost Sagers are idiots, but they're unlikable.
Yeah.
Where's the line here?
It might be the underpants line.
Okay.
That works, I guess.
You know, maybe if Alta was trying to give his underwear away all the time, he'd come across as more likable.
Well, also the fact that AG plays off well against Donk, whereas with the Ghost Sagers,
it's just
they're all idiots.
Besides, AG doesn't really f up all the time.
Yeah.
And AG seems to have more going on in his head than a Ken doll, so.
And stays out of other people's business unless it's already involved him.
That's what it is. AG has, his character has depth, even though he's stupid. He's complicated, whereas Alata is just
shallow.
As shallow as my driveway.
How shallow is your driveway?
Well, I wouldn't high dive into it.
Good to know. Okay, so anything else?
No, that's it this time, I think.
Let's bring on the pain.
No, we already did Ghost Sager. So let's take a break.
This is worse.
Well, find out what's worse after this.
Hamburger, potato, drinker! Hapodo, hapodo, hapodo!
Superhero time, where your mom jokes go to die.
Over 3,000 photos. More than a dozen different toy lines. 6 cameras. How do you measure 5 years? FigureReviews.com brings you in-depth reviews and the best toy photography online. Join RAC and XV for quality toy reviews, photography, and just plain awesome. FigureReviews.com.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
And we're back.
It's time for Twitter Theater.
Ooh, Mickey, frickety-hoo.
Mickey, what did we watch this week?
We watched Turbo.
Wait, what? What? What did we watch? I couldn't hear you.
We watched Turbo, a Power Rangers movie.
All right.
We're here to save the world. We're here to save the world tonight. Save the world from your kind.
Also known as the moment when all of our childhoods died.
Well, unfortunately, I was really busy this weekend, and I didn't have time to watch it myself. But I'm really interested
what?
In hearing the
what?
Three of you talk about it.
What?
You seriously thought XV was going to watch it?
Well, it's a good thing I don't have anything to say about it, then.
Oh, you've got all kinds of things to say about it. I know you've got a list.
Oh, I've forgotten them.
Well, I guess it falls to you, Fort Max.
Well, here's the thing. I don't get why all the hate for the movie.
Me
Let's
either.
Start off with the title.
Okay, let's, Mickey.
What the f*** is wrong with this title? Seriously, Power Rangers Turbo wasn't good enough. They had to put in a weird colon and extra articles and shit in this.
Yes.
Why?
Marketing. Focus groups.
It's hip.
No, it's not. It's dumb.
Maybe they thought if they called it Turbo instead of Power Rangers 2, more people would come to see it.
Like people just read Turbo and they stop reading the rest of the movie title?
Yes.
Well, more people... Well, it was a limited release in theaters, so it wasn't going to have that much in ticket sales anyway, so...
So, it's a limited release, so that means someone exercised some form of judgment about the project.
Not enough, though.
Or it was more Saban was figured that it would be cheaper for him that way.
You know, I kind of wonder if doing the movie was not some kind of... roundabout way of getting somebody else to help pay for all of the new suits and sets that he wanted to build for the next season.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all because they got to use the movie budget on new Alpha costume vehicles that they, well, only reused one, that they only used one of once in the series.
Yeah.
It got them a new power chamber set. And
it got them a Megazord suit.
And got them really good villain costumes. And they reused the movie Ranger suits much.
See, that's one of the things. If you look at the Car Ranger footage in Turbo, you know, the original monster suits look like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot see that really going over too well in the American footage. And you get a little taste of that in the movie here, because they use the Japanese Elgar suit for the stunt suit.
Or they at least use the Japanese stunt suit.
Which is still the Japanese Elgar suit, because it doesn't look anything like the American one.
Yeah, well, and would be the crappier of the Japanese suits.
Really, when Elgar looks like that, it doesn't really matter if it's the stunt suit or not. It's going to look crappy either way.
Now, I will say that the face of the Japanese Elgar looks a lot more menacing. But it's Elgar.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be menacing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know what is kind of menacing? Larigo. What kind of horrible cereal box did he escape from?
You know, it's really too bad they didn't reuse the Furbus suit. And then reuse
it would have been less terrifying.
And then reuse it again with a dress on it.
No, they would have, if they, for the scene that had both Largo and his wife, they would have used the suit and the puppet.
And then they would have gone to the store and bought a Furby to use for their baby.
So apparently Largo is hiding out in the woods of Tennessee, it looks like. On
yeah,
another planet.
It's that awesome alien jungle of Northern California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just like in Stargate where all of the every alien planet is Vancouver.
Yeah. Or like the various CSIs where you had the mountains of Florida.
No, that was Overdrive.
Yeah.
Well, and CSI Miami.
Well, that would have a justification, wouldn't it?
Okay, I'm sure this joke has been made before, but watching
why
the
would
movie
it have a justification?
Reminded me of how Largo looks like he's stoned throughout the entire movie due to the poor animatronics in his face.
I think it's also the big glassy eyes.
Yeah, but yeah. And it's just constant slack jawedness. I mean, it's not quite dull surprise. It's more like, hey.
So instead of being the single facial expression that Kathy Ireland's capable of using, it's the single facial expression Keanu Reeves is capable of using.
Yeah, yes. That's more the impression I get from it.
Largo has Keanu face.
Yet he's still a better actor than Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. So, after we get through Largo's horrible introduction, which most of the audience in the theater, I assume, walked out at that point.
Actually, in the theater, we were a little late showing up, so we missed like the first few minutes of the stuff on the planet there, so.
Pity that.
I was like, what the heck's going on?
And that probably was your statement for the entire movie, right?
Not really.
How old were you then, Fort Max?
The movie was released 97?
97. Oh, come on. This must be easy math for you.
10 or 11 or so.
Really?
Fifth grade.
And how old were you, Mickey?
I graduated high school.
Oh, that never gets old, but you sure do.
Hey-o.
Well, as long as y'all are in the mood for laughing, let's talk about Rocky breaking his back. But retarded.
How bad of a martial artist do you have to be to accidentally hurl yourself outside of the ring?
Well, I don't know how much of a martial artist you have to be, but it helps if you're, like, made of rubber. Because he totally just, like, bounced off that guy's glove.
Well, and of course, I mean, they needed a way to write him out of the series anyway.
Well, he had actually already hurt his back in real life.
Yeah, he hurt his back right towards the very end of production on Zio.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they just wrote him out of the series in, like, the most retarded way possible without him, like, sticking his finger in an electric socket.
I don't know. It's still better than being sent to a peace conference.
Or going to another
planet. Yeah, better than that.
Or going to another planet and never coming back.
What the hell is a peace conference anyway?
Yeah, we need to do those episodes at some point in the future, too.
Actually, those are going to start showing up in the next week or so on PowerRangers.com.
Remind me of that. I'm actually going to watch those because I don't think I remember how bad that really went down.
No, you don't.
It's just a lot of alternate takes, but it was really obvious, especially when they would mesh up reused dialogue with the replacement VA dialogue.
Yeah.
One where you would have a part where you would have like one scene where it was where part of a line was well where one sentence of a line was original was reused from an earlier episode, and then the next sentence of the line was the voice
Tim Curry.
Yeah, Tim Curry.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, that explains why Trini's replacement voice was so bad.
Well, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, Turbo wasn't all awful.
What was good?
Because, well,
Diva talks.
Well, of course.
And she steals every single scene she appears in because she is just an incredibly charismatic, hammy villain.
Well, Diva Talks always was the best thing about Turbo.
She's probably my favorite Power Rangers villain of all time, I think.
You know, besides the being baked into a pizza thing.
Yeah. We should cover that at some point.
And the Zord-sized jacket.
Oh, Car Ranger.
Yeah, I didn't realize how slutty her costume was in the movie.
Like, oh, I remember... yeah, they really had to... they had to add a few yards of fabric to that for the series.
They
can appreciate that costume a lot more now that I'm older.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
But yeah, the main problems that I had with that I have with it is mostly things that the sudden changes from Zio.
Yeah.
Without any explanation. They did at least have mention of the Zio powers.
Yeah.
Kind of. Kat remembers them in the middle of a fall, and then they stop working when she gets wet.
Yeah.
Did they fail spectacularly, or did she fail spectacularly?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Well, it's Kat, so I don't expect much from her anyway.
Yeah, like remembering she could, like, you know, teleport away.
Yeah.
You know.
Plot convenience.
But yeah, there was that, the entire... Now, Bulk and Skull were supposedly leaving for France at the end of Zio, maybe they left for France after getting abducted or something? Would explain the shirts they were wearing.
What explains their white hair?
Nothing.
Okay.
But yeah, there's that. They're suddenly back on the police force. No explanation on what happened.
Not that I really care, because, you know, it's Bulk and Skull, and they're always awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the drop plot elements between Zio and Turbo were always kind of jarring.
Of course, I'm wondering if how much of it was that... having to write around David Yost leaving...
I think it's just poor writing in general throughout the entire movie.
I think there was some kind of production shakeup between series.
Yeah.
And more than just him anyway?
They, you know, just something happened on the backside of production. And no, not David Yost.
Something happened in your mom's box backside.
Yeah. Something he happened.
Died.
You know, Zio wasn't getting good ratings toward the end, so... It's probable that they were... made to drop some of the plot elements so they could try to start a little fresher next time.
But yeah, Zio's pretty much the one series, is I think the only Power Rangers season that they've had where none of the powers and stuff were ever shown having been destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the whole end of Zio in general just didn't really come across very well.
Yeah.
It didn't really feel like any kind of an ending.
Yeah,
because I mean, it seemed kind of Rita and Zed blowing up the Machine Empire seemed just kind of tacked on.
I mean, it seemed like they weren't really expecting to do another season, and they were just trying to leave it open-ended. You know, all the Zio powers and stuff are still there. Rita and Zed are trying to come start up again.
And, well, it seems they did at least get their palace back.
Yeah.
It was nice seeing Rita and Zed in Turbo, though.
Yeah.
However briefly.
Yeah.
Rita's still great.
Yeah.
You know, aside from all the obvious flaws with Turbo, you know, bad special effects, bad sets, so on and so forth, what really just ruins it for me is that it does absolutely nothing with the concept.
What do you mean?
Turbo is all about cars and speed, and what do they do in the movie? Well, first thing they do when they get the cars is they get on a boat.
Yeah.
Well, they go for a walk through the jungle for 5 seconds.
Well, they do get to drive on water, though.
Okay, but if you're calling your movie Turbo, there's
about 5 minutes of driving in the whole thing.
And at pretty low speed.
Yeah. I mean, we don't even get any more footage until about 35 minutes into the movie, more or less.
No, actually, it was closer to 55.
Okay, well, yeah.
Proves the point even more.
At least any meaningful more footage.
The movie takes place in pirate ships and jungles and caves. Absolutely nothing to do with Turbo at all.
But at least it's not in the basement of the power chamber anymore.
But, you know, thank God they got to show off their backpack with the water thing that pops out of it.
I love those backpacks since they're just an enlarged Turbo Navigator.
Did they ever make the power pack thing into toys?
I don't think so.
James, it looked like they were setting up to do that.
Well, yeah, that's totally, it looks like a toy commercial when they pop out the water thing.
Well, here's the thing. There weren't any molds to make them out of.
That's true. And back then, the only new mold stuff they were making was motorcycles.
Which actually would have worked in Turbo.
Actually, no. Even back then, the motorcycles were all reused.
And they did the stupid little go-kart things, too, for the toy line.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that's from Car Ranger.
I know.
But they still did them, and they were still stupid.
Actually, the thing that I did like about them is how they're also... is how those are also used to pilot the Turbo Zords.
Are they?
Yes.
In Car Ranger, noticed. Yes. You can... the cockpit, the Japanese cockpit footage for the individual Turbo Zords, you can tell that they're sitting in the turbo carts.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I never paid enough attention.
Which is probably the best way to get through Turbo.
yeah. I think maybe the closest thing to a new mold cycle that had up through Turbo was, before, I think Lost Galaxy was the first time that they had completely new mold cycles for the Power Rangers line, but
the
closest thing to a new mold cycle before then was the Gold Zeo cycle.
Because there wasn't one in Japan?
Yeah, and it was just a new tool piece for the front.
A new headlight.
yeah.
There was another good thing about the Turbo movie.
It ended?
Well, anyway, aside from that, an actual positive thing going on in it, and that was Kimberly and Jason.
Okay.
Because, well,
that's true.
Kimberly really shows that her acting skills have improved greatly since the first season of Power Rangers. Because she does a pretty good job.
It's kind of hard to go down from there.
True.
But specifically when she turns evil, it's a very natural acting evil.
As opposed to her overly hammy evil when she's dressed up as Rita.
Well, she was faking then, though.
Yeah.
So, she's not acting evil.
Right, she was
plus,
acting
it was just fun seeing her beat
the
shit out of Cat, because Cat deserves it. Fake-ass Pink Ranger.
Yeah, Pink is out.
Oh, and finally get to see Jason and Tommy fight for reals. If you don't count all the times they fought in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first time when Jason was the evil one.
And he had the muscles and the power. Okay, so there was one thing that confused me. Why does Elgar have a robot hand?
Why not?
Well, there's never any other indication that he is a robot or cyborg.
It's like Darth Vader. You don't know until you cut off his hand that he's a robot. And then you realize he's just like you.
But I don't have a robot hand.
Yet.
Well, you wouldn't know that until I cut it off. Which I'm probably going to do.
No, remember Blazemaster. I'm already being made to suffer enough.
Why does Adam have a Chevy Astro?
What?
The Adam's Desert whatever bullshit car. It's a Chevy Astro, it looks like.
Yes, his dream vehicle is a...
minivan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They cut so much out of that movie.
God, I can't imagine it being any longer.
Though, unfortunately, there was no a minivan. There was no "I'm a minivan" line.
See, now that would have been funny if they kept that in there to reference the frog line.
Yeah.
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 Too bad.
So they all take a cruise over to Survivor Island.
And sadly, they don't try to vote themselves out.
Well, it's not like they're the Ghost Sagers or anything. You know what the best part was, though? When Malagor started rising out of the volcano, and Divatox actually saw what he looked like. And just that gradual, her face falling.
Yeah.
Inching away. As you said before, Divatox really steals any scene she's in.
Yeah, she does.
Then of course you have, Adam holding his gun backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a fantastic scene in that final battle too, where I believe it's Tommy does like a roundhouse kick at somebody and like misses them by like 2.5 feet, and they still fly backwards.
Well, you know, he's Tommy. He's the next best thing to Chuck Norris.
Yeah, he's just using the force.
Yeah, you know, when Tommy tries to kick you, even if he doesn't hit you, you kick yourself.
Yeah.
And go down.
Yeah.
And then you vote Republican.
And then we see what you sound like when you explode.
That joke just evolved so much farther and faster than I ever intended.
Oh, do any of y'all have your copy of the movie open right now?
No.
No?
Oh, okay.
None of us is that big of a nerd, except maybe
Okay,
formats.
Well, if you queue to 38 minutes in, when they first morph into their turbo costumes, yellow and pink are totally dudes in this scene.
Oh, pink is totally a dude throughout at least the first
but
half of
Turbo. But you can see the bulge behind the skirt.
Well...
And
even
the neck is wider than the helmet.
I didn't get to see the movie until after I'd seen a lot of the series. But, you know, it was totally obvious right from the start that Pink's stunty was a dude.
Yeah, but...
Which is just so
in,
sad.
In fast action scenes, it's less noticeable. Not unnoticeable, just less. I mean, this one, it's like, oh my god. That guy's got...
It's kind of like reverse Trini syndrome.
It's not spandex.
This one is totally spandex.
Yeah. Turbo does not deserve that bit of awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, I will argue that there is one other good bit in this movie, and that, of course, is the music.
Wasserman is awesome as always.
Can't argue with Hope for the World.
Or Invincible.
Well, yes. But I think Invincible really got a moment to shine when the Rescue Zords were introduced.
That's what sold me on it.
Right.
Speaking of the Zords, the Turbo Zord has one of my favorite Zord combination sequences.
Yeah.
Although, it's even better when it's... Yeah, when it's faster.
Yeah. But I always like combinations where they don't have to float at all.
Yeah.
Unless it's a train.
Well, that wasn't floating. It jumped off a ramp.
Yeah, that was calling the style. Style.
Excellent, excellent.
The thing about the Turbo Zord sequence is that you go from these awesome-looking models combining, and then it cuts straight to the shitty suit. The giant football player helmet and everything.
Well, what do you expect them to do?
Well...
I mean, we saw how it
had more bad CG.
I was going to say, we saw how it turned out when they tried to CG the Zords the last time.
Yeah.
Not sure we really want that to happen again.
You know, another problem with the Turbo movie is that it's completely lacking in the scope of what a movie should be, and that's bigger than the TV show.
Whereas this
first
is just
Power
like
Rangers
four
movie.
This is like four
epic.
Episodes of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just in terms of the way the shots are set up, the sets, it's filmed very tight, like you'd film television. The first movie had a lot of broad shots and
The story was even written for the show, TV show.
Well, that explains a lot of it.
Yeah.
They decided, hey, let's release it as a movie.
And get Fox to pay for half of our expenses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I don't think we would have got Elgar, Rygog, or Porto suits like we did if not for the movie. Even though Porto wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
I have to admit that that theory of using the movie as just a way to milk some cash to put into the show makes a lot of sense.
No, and it's really obvious. Well, with the Porto suit, the American Porto suit isn't anywhere near as much of an improvement over the Japanese suits as any of the others.
That's true, but there's only so much you can do with a balloon with a porthole for a face.
But the Porto suit, the American Porto suit looks, obvious, looks even cheaper construction than the Japanese suit.
The only thing you can really do with that is slap a dress and a sun hat on it.
Yes.
And beaded pizza.
Right. Oh, Turbo.
But,
what would we do with
that? Even the... the suit was more... The U.S. Porto suit was more in line with the previous... with the villain suits from previous series.
Well, if nothing else, I'm glad they made a new Rygog suit, because Japanese Rygog was kind of cheap-looking.
Yeah, and I like...
I think you can see the hinges on the jaw.
More menacing look of the Japanese Rygog suit... But that's mostly with how the face looked.
Yeah. I just can't see Turbo working with the Japanese suits.
I just can't see Turbo working.
Well,
period.
But yeah, I like how the faces look. The faces on the Japanese suits, yeah, they look better. Of course, with Elgar, it wouldn't fit with Elgar, but...
Right. Because that's just not who Elgar was.
Yeah. Now,
mysterious robot hand and all.
The Japanese suit would work as Elgar with that hair. Simply because it would look even more ridiculous than the U.S. Elgar suit with the hair.
For as much crap as we give Turbo, it really is hilarious.
Yes. Especially the second part.
Yeah. It definitely worked better in the second part than the first.
Yeah.
Probably because the whole new group of actors made it less conspicuous that all of the writing and everything was sucking. Because you could just blame it on them doing it badly.
Turbo itself really picked up with Honey, I Shrunk the Rangers.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what was going wrong with the first half.
Movie hangover.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, well, I think part of it was having to figure out for ways to get the... characters to be together, but with them not being in school anymore.
Yeah. Well, they should have all, like, bought a house together. That's really as far as I have to go with that.
And, of course, it's obvious that in the series, the only reason that they had Catherine as a student teacher at Angel Grove High School is so there would be someone to be with Justin.
And so they wouldn't have to build any new sets.
Yeah.
Damn it, you had to say the J word.
We made also the entire review without bringing that little f***er up.
Yes.
Well, too late now. Have at.
The only really issue that I ever had with Justin is that the acting was bad, but this is Power Rangers. What do you expect?
See, the funny thing is he's acting... is bad, but it's not as bad as some child actors are, like Anakin. But what I find amusing is that when he morphs, the morph form acts more childlike and retarded than he does in real life. He starts jumping all around with both hands in the air and skipping and shit.
It's like Kiba Ranger syndrome.
Yeah.
Justin is the Ghost Eggers ancestor. That's what I think.
You know, back before RPM started... somebody had this great idea that they should get Blake Foster back to be the mentor for that team.
No.
No.
I thought it was a good idea.
No, it's not.
Sure it was.
What's so bad about Blake Foster?
Right.
No, it's not him specifically. I mean, he's fine as a dude, I guess. It's just that, no, I don't want Justin coming back.
Ever.
And, well, Justin got a lot less grading as the series went on.
You know, when they started using him less. And he wasn't that bad when he was in the episode of In Space.
Yeah, and it's more that Justin wasn't, when they switched out the cast is when Justin was a lot less the character was less annoying.
Because they were using him less.
It's more that what the character represents than what it actually was, and that was a blatantly transparent idea of getting a kid appeal character to be one of the actual morphed Rangers.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody likes when TV shows do stuff like that.
Well, just look at Scrappy Doo.
Yeah, exactly.
So what else?
Is there anything else?
I don't know, I'm asking you. It must be something else.
Yeah, I'm just remembering bad this movie really was.
Now, this was the first... This was pretty much the first time that, anyone other than a Six Ranger used their own individual weapons being used as, well, being used in action sequences.
What?
Before Turbo, the only individual Ranger weapons, as opposed to the sidearms that they all shared, that were used in American stunt sequences were the Dragon Dagger and Saba.
Okay, what? you're saying the individual Ranger weapons is the first one we got American footage of someone using it since the Green and White Ranger.
As weapons in stock footage, I mean, there were American props of the power weapons, however, those were only used in command center scenes.
Okay. I have no idea what Fort Max is trying to tell us.
Okay,
we actually had prop weapons.
I believe Timmy may be trapped in the well. We probably ought to go and deal with that.
Just leave him.
But yeah, I mean, with these, the Rangers actually... there were actually U.S. stunt weapons that were...
Speaking of, what the hell is a Yellow Ranger's weapon supposed to be? Is it like a kettle prod or
maybe?
Boxing gloves? Or
I think shock paddles. Shock paddles. Brass knuckle shock paddles, apparently.
You know, I think you could get that as a weapon in Saints Row.
Yeah, you could. That game was great.
They form part of a car.
No, but you can shock a car and blow it up.
You can punch old ladies with it.
Yeah, that's the thing that I love about the turbo weapons is that they form a car.
And an improbable cannon emplacement.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what was great about Saints Row? You could streak in it.
And you'd get money for it.
Yeah. Why did I sell that game?
I don't know. You should get Saints Row 2.
That was the one I was talking about.
Well, then you should go buy it again. It's like $15.
Yeah, I should.
It's great. I've got it.
Yeah. I mean, my character looks like Mimi from the Drew Carey Show. Or your mom. Either way.
Right.
There's not much difference to them, really.
Well, your mom's
she's
larger.
Smaller than your mom.
Yeah.
Really, there's not that much difference between your mom and Drew Carey.
Well...
No, Drew Carey is less masculine than your mom.
Drew Carey's the host of The Price is Right, unlike your mom.
Which
your mom's The Price is very right.
Which means he's making his nickels in a completely different way. So yeah, Turbo. A Power Rangers movie.
This movie is worse than Revenge of the Fallen.
I wouldn't...
No,
Turbo had a comprehensible plot.
It had a beginning, middle, and end. I also didn't have to pay $14 to see it. And an hour and a half to eat dinner afterward.
I've never paid money to see Turbo.
But you have paid.
I rented it on VHS when it was new. And that's it.
I downloaded it years ago.
I just streamed it from Netflix.
Really?
Yep. I watched the first movie on Netflix. We need to cover the first movie at some point.
The Japanese version of it. Well, you know, I found a French dub of Turbo.
Which character did they dub as a girl?
I don't know. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I guess that was anticipation of the Vulcan Skull go to France.
Sure.
I wonder if there's a Portuguese dub.
Speaking of which, that Portuguese White Ranger theme was pretty awesome. I want a copy of that.
I told you it was.
Well, you were right.
Yes. That's why I put it in the show. Unfortunately, I haven't taken the time to listen to the Polish Ninja Storm opening yet.
Can't be any worse.
Well, you could do the Polish Overdrive.
Is there one?
I don't know.
Probably.
Well, now I have to look. Because, really, what could be better? Let's see. Overdrive. Wait, that'd be under non-English. So, no. Just Ninja Storm, Dino Thunder, and SPD in Polish.
Oh, I gotta hear SPD in Polish. YouTube, I assume?
No.
Yes, I found it.
Okay, that's not where I'm looking.
They even changed the choral voices for the Polish SPD thing. But they still say Space Patrol Delta in English.
This is actually kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Save it for January when we do the
SPD. The singer for this is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it seems like... Well, was there any version of the SPD theme that wasn't awesome?
Good point.
Deca Ranger at Psychic Lover.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Always awesome.
Yeah. Then you had Ron Wasserman.
That was half of what I liked about Shinkanger.
Yeah.
Yeah, Psychic Lover needs to do more Sentai songs.
Okay, the Polish Downliner is awesome. You get to kill the hill, they have the same Dino Thunder, Thunder. And that just doesn't work.
What?
I'm still giggling at SP Dead. She was running my own shopping shorts. And the field of sport. It's the Jesky board of Josh Machine Cut.
There.
So you were saying something about Polish Dino Thunder?
Yes, yes. They say Dino Thunder instead of Dino Thunder. Other than that, it's pretty awesome. What?
Seriously?
What's up with the beaker noises?
Dino!
Oh. Oh, okay, yes.
That is going in the opening. Fort Max, you say too many funny things unintentionally.
If only you could do it on purpose.
If only he could not do it for a little while. I've got too many things to ever use for all the intros. I got like 3 times as many quotes from Fort Max as I do from the rest of us combined.
I'll try and be more retarded then.
Sold.
I can't find the Ninja Storm in Polish.
Maybe it's not on YouTube.
I'd consider that a good thing.
He might be right. Sadly, there does not seem to be any alternate language Power Rangers Turbo songs. How sad.
Yeah.
But we'll always have Portuguese White Ranger power.
Now, we might want to just link some of the, some bits of the Japanese dub of the first parts of the first episode of Turbo.
What?
What are you talking about?
Now, I found on YouTube there's some clips of the Japanese dub of the first couple of parts of the first couple episodes of Turbo.
Is there anything particularly entertaining besides the fact that they're Turbo in Japanese?
Japanese diva talks?
Can't even imagine. I bet she's not as funny as American diva talks.
Well, and plus this is first part of the
season. I know, it's Carol Hoyt. She never was as good as the other one. So how about that Power Rangers Turbo?
I've had enough of it.
Well, look on the bright side. You never have to watch it again.
No, you'll make us watch it again.
Well, now that you've given me a challenge, yeah, I'll have to think of some logical reason that we'd have to watch it again.
Yeah, how is it we've watched, like, had two Twitter theaters on Turbo?
Did
actually,
we?
Three.
Did we?
Yes.
'Cause we did a two-parter on Turbo, remember?
No.
Yes.
You don't remember that?
No.
We had a special guest host?
Oh. No wonder I don't remember. Okay, so anyway, we have done three episodes on Turbo.
And how many episodes of RPM have we done?
Well, I told you to pick one.
I'm going to pick something featuring Jim and Gemma.
Boom!
Damn.
We like it when things go boom.
Well, there's certainly good material to work from there.
And we haven't really done anything from SPD.
No, but we're
going to rectify
that in January.
What have we watched from SPD?
The Battleizer episodes.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, I forgot about that.
Not that those are the greatest examples to work from.
No, of course, with the upcoming adaptation, Decay, Distillation, we're going to get to make fun of the Japanese Doggy Kruger.
Yes. Yes, we are. That'll be coming in January.
Yeah.
It's worth the wait.
To work with in Decaranger.
Huh?
I think there's some good stuff to work with in Decaranger.
Oh, probably.
Well, it isn't
like
Doggy.
Like Psychic Lover.
Well, first, next week, we have Samurai Pizza Cats.
Why are we watching this?
I really don't know, but I'm not really going to complain because Samurai Pizza Cats is awesome.
Yes.
And plus, footage of it was used as, well, a TV show in Saban's Masked Rider and episodes of Power Rangers, so...
Yeah, weren't Bulk and Skull watching it at one point?
Yeah.
Also, no. I think the episode we're going to watch was written by Robert Axelrod.
Yeah.
What, they wrote Samurai Pizza Cats?
It was a Saban production.
Dynamite, I guess.
I assume they just put the mics in front of people and told them to start talking as the show airs.
Live simultaneous animated broadcast from Japan?
Yes.
Damn right.
And yeah, according to Axelrod, of course, they were working on very rough translations of the scripts just to kind of get the gist of what was going on and then threw everything else out.
Yeah.
That's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Samurai Pizza Cats XV? I thought you said you haven't. Is that true?
No, I have never seen a full episode of it.
I've seen bits and pieces, though, then.
I saw the first minute and a half of the episode we're going to watch just to check the quality of it.
Ah, so you have a rough idea of how insane it's going to be?
I've had an inkling from hearing people talk about it. No first-hand experience, though. I expect to be amazed.
I'm wondering if it's still going to give me a headache.
Hopefully. Because it really is just not a good episode of Superhero Time unless you're suffering.
That means this episode must have been our best ever.
At least as good as Godzilla. Yes, the Godzilla episode will forever live in infamy.
Of course, the best episode actually was probably the one where it was an episode of Dynaman.
Yeah, we'll have to do that again, too.
No, where the episode itself... Where the show itself was the episode of Dynaman.
Oh, what? You mean the week I used that as a replacement?
Yeah.
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 Can't argue with that. I'll have to do that again sometime.
With Dynacon.
Yeah, we need to talk about Dynacon at some point in the near future.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic. Good memories.
Then everybody died.
Okay, so do we have anything else for this
God.
Week?
It's full of stars.
But your soup?
The Dynaman Vault.
Have you not watched all of Dynacon yet, Mickey?
I'll get around to it.
Okay, that's why you don't get the reference.
I thought Fort Max was talking about his chicken star soup.
Well, it'd definitely be more full of stars than chicken.
And goldfish crackers.
Okay, so anything else this week?
I think that's it.
Probably for the best.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm done.
Okay, then. I think we've beat Turbo enough.
Never.
Oh, so you want to talk about it again next time?
No, I want to beat it more.
You go right on beating that dead horse.
What about beating a dead whore?
Well, not without paying her a nickel first. I don't know. Yeah. All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, et cetera, et cetera.
See you next time.
What are we watching again?
What?
What are we watching next week?
Samurai Pizza Cats.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Kool-Aid Man! What the hell?
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.
Now, if we start with the now for something completely uninteresting, we might as well follow it up with it's.
Tits?
What?
It's.
Chits.
Jive? What the hug?
Yeah, hug this.
So usually when there's a deafening silence, that means we didn't get your reference, so we're waiting for you to explain it.
And when XV goes, what? Then that's also a sign that nobody understands your jokes and you should, you know, explain.
Have any of you ever seen Monty Python's Flying Circus?
No. I saw Holy Grail once, so then I swore never again.
Yeah, I really couldn't get into the humor of Monty Python. And now the deafening silence is the...
Fort Max fainted.
It's the unthinkable situation where Fort Max is looking down upon the rest of us.
And speaking of speaking of British shows, Matt Smith is going to be on the Late Late Show tomorrow night.
That's right, with a Dalek.
That's odd. Well, wait, Ferguson's British. That's not that odd.
Right. That's why he's funny.
After I remember to forget about that in about 3 seconds, we stop talking about it.
And, well, also part of it is that at least part of one of the episodes of the sixth season is being filmed in Utah.
Huh.
So is it going to be an episode of, like, Mormon Daleks?
They're not that alien.